Well, welcome this morning. Today we continue with this series where we're just looking at the meaning really of the New Jerusalem, particularly in the context of New Church Day, which is approaching this month on the 19th of June. So we first off, we looked at this idea of the new heavens and the new earth, and we saw that this has to do with the remaking of the human mind. The heavens being what is more internal to the earth, which is more external. And then we looked at this idea of the New Jerusalem, and we'll be looking at that in a little bit more detail today. But we looked at it particularly in its reference to being a city. And we saw that a city is a structure, and that because the word deals with internal things, that when we talk of a city in relation to the human mind, what we are referring to there is a structure of thinking, structure of thought. And so the New Jerusalem represents the heavenly doctrines by means of which we can be brought into a deeper understanding of the Word. And so today we're going to be looking at this idea of the New Jerusalem as a city coming from God out of heaven, being prepared, adorned as a bride for her husband. So today we're going to be dealing with the idea of the bride and being adorned in preparation for, obviously, a wedding. And so when we think of things in regard to weddings, brides, bridegrooms, the idea here is one of being joined, one of conjunction. And so it is that the Word is the means by which that we are joined to the Lord. And so we're going to be exploring the New Jerusalem in the light of this idea this morning. Our reading this morning is from the book of Revelation, reading chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. And I'm reading from the literal New Testament. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and the sea no longer is. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having been prepared as a bride, having been adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God with men. And he will tabernacle with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no longer, nor mourning, nor outcry, nor will there be pain any more. For the first things passed away. And the one sitting on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, because the words are faithful and true." And a selection of readings from the heavenly doctrines this morning. The first reading is from the Apocalypse Revealed, number 881. "Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband, signifies the church conjoined to the Lord by means of the word. By prepared is signified attired for betrothal, and the church is equipped for betrothal and afterwards for conjunction or marriage by means of the word, for this is the only medium of conjunction or marriage, because the word is from the Lord and concerning the Lord, and thus is the Lord. Indeed, the word has been given for the sake of that end. By the husband is understood the Lord is plain from verses 9 and 10 of this chapter, where Jerusalem is called the bride, the Lamb's wife. From these considerations, it can be established that by Jerusalem, prepared as a bride for her husband, is signified the church, conjoined with the Lord by means of the word." And two readings from the Arcana Celestia with regard to the church. The first reading is number 6113, and the second reading is number 10310. The word church is used to mean that which constitutes the church in a person. For a person is a church when goodness and truth are present in him, and groups of such people make up the church in general. They have the church within them who have an affection for truth for its own sake and an affection for good for its own sake, thus who are governed by love towards the neighbor and love to God. For good and truth are the neighbor, and so is God, since good and truth are God's, and so are God as he exists with such people. So the New Jerusalem is described as a city. And as we saw last week, this description is symbolic of something spiritual. And when we talk of something spiritual, we don't mean something vague or vaporous. The spiritual realm is the very real realm of your thoughts and your affections, your beliefs and your desires. And while we can't see mental phenomenon with our physical senses, we know their reality in our experience. We are able to detect that we have feelings and thoughts because we have inner spiritual senses that are designed for this very function. The activity of our spirit, which we experience as our thoughts and affections, in order to be real, must have a structure to them. They must have substance and form. And we can know this because when we reflect on this activity, we can see that it has a quality to it. And anything to have qualities must exist. And for anything to exist and have those qualities, it must have substance and form. Now, we may not think too much about our inner life in terms of its substance and form and qualities, but in the very fact that we can reflect and detect the things of this inner world means that they do exist and that they are something substantial. I can't see your thoughts and your feelings. You can't see my thoughts or my feelings. Does this mean that they are not real? Of course not. The way we think, the way we feel, the beliefs and values we hold, the love we have for others, these things are more real in terms of our quality of life than anything material could ever be. And anyone can know this if they care to reflect upon it. So I hope you can see that spiritual things, the things of our mental world, are substantial, and as such, they must have a structure to them. We can't see spiritual structures with our physical eyes. We can't see it with our natural thought. But we would be hard-pressed to convince anyone that the feelings they feel or the thoughts they experience are non-existent. Spiritual things are real things. Make no mistake about that. But because they are a degree above the detectable level of our physical senses, we need to have something to lift our perception above the merely sensual level of life. In order to see what is spiritual, we have to have developed our rational faculty. For spiritual things are not seen with the eyes of the senses, but with the eye of the understanding. Spiritual things are goods and truths. These are seen with the understanding. So in order to teach us about spiritual realities, the Bible uses natural imagery, objects from the natural world, historical people, natural events, things that we are all familiar with. But it asks us to think about them in a different way. This takes some effort because we're so used to thinking naturally. To think spiritually in relation to what the Bible has to say, we need to be able to see that everything there applies first and foremost to the inner mental life of people. So as we saw last week, the city of the New Jerusalem is not to be thought of as a physical structure, but that the idea of a city has an inner application, and as such represents a structure of thought and belief that is spiritual in nature, and so belongs to the world of the human mind. So this week we want to extend this idea of the city being something prepared as a bride, having been adorned for her husband. But first, let's clarify this idea of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. This tells us that the structure of thinking that this city, the New Jerusalem, represents is from God, and it descends from out of heaven. Spiritual Christianity teaches that this structure of heavenly thought is found in what makes up its spiritual teachings, what are called the heavenly doctrines. These teachings are found in the volumes of books that make up the theology for the new church. Yet as books on the shelf, these teachings are ineffective. They are dead. The ideas they contain only become living when they are freely taken into human minds and become the basis for living our lives. Now, these ideas are designed to build a new rational faculty, a new understanding of things. And this is to be built up so that we can see more clearly what is spiritual. Now, because these teachings enable those who take them seriously to grasp the inner truths of the Bible and how its stories relate to our inner life, so they are able to transform us. They form our minds into a structure which can receive what is heavenly, so that what is heavenly can become more grounded in our lives. So the teachings for spiritual Christianity, or the heavenly doctrines, they exist on the physical plane as words printed on pages. Taken together, these words, they form ideas or concepts in natural language that we can grasp about spiritual things. But before they became printed words on a page, they always existed as the spiritual sense within the literal sense of the Bible. The spiritual meaning within the Bible is not actually in the printed words of the Old and New Testaments. The inner meaning is spiritual, and so it exists in the minds of people. And it comes to light when they acknowledge the Lord as the Word through a willingness to live from its truths. Now, this acknowledgement took place in the case of Emanuel Swedenborg. And the result was the publishing of the heavenly doctrines, which teach why and show how the Word is divine. The showing of the revelation of the Word, showing how it is divine, is done more clearly in the heavenly doctrines than anywhere else. We can come into a rational understanding of why the Word is divine, how it is divine, how it is the Lord with us. These teachings concerning the spiritual life were drawn out of the literal sense of the Word as it was read by Swedenborg, who was able to record the insights he received from the Lord through the heavens, showing in wonderful detail what the church, what the Word teaches concerning the nature of God as divine love and wisdom, the nature of humankind, the nature of life after death, and the nature of heaven and hell. So this revelation, which appeals to the rational part of us, has the power to restructure our minds, to restructure them into a heavenly form, for they have descended from God through the heavens for this very purpose, that human beings may be more completely and fully connected with the Lord, with His life. And these teachings, because they have the power to bring about this transformation, are called the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You see, everything that comes forth from God has one end in view, the eternal happiness of every human being. The Lord is divine love and wisdom itself, and the love He is seeks only the welfare of all under His care. Therefore, the divine wisdom works tirelessly to bring this about, attending to every detail of life, to hold open the possibility for people to realize that God wants them to be intimately connected to Himself, not for His sake, but for the sake of their happiness. We call this divine care and attention the Lord's divine providence. He provides all things for our salvation. Love by means of wisdom presents itself to human consciousness in the form of truths or spiritual teachings. In the Word and in the heavenly doctrines, we have truths and spiritual teachings, presenting love as it is in itself. It doesn't force us to take hold of it, doesn't force itself upon us. But by means of ideas that are clothed in very human terms, we have open to us this possibility, a possibility for spiritual life, a possibility for regeneration. The teachings are here. The divine leaves us in complete freedom to pick them up and explore them, or to leave them by the side. To the natural mind, the claim that the divine reveals itself in the form of ideas and concepts through a human agent may seem unbelievable. So be it. But for those who are willing to lay aside their preconceptions and consider the possibility that a life in accordance with spiritual principles, that these teachings are actually empowering them to resist self-centered patterns of feeling, of thinking, of behaving, and opening up for them a new way of life where they are brought into a deeper sense of connection with the Lord. And it's because of their ability to bring about this connection by means of the Word that the teachings are described as something prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The first thing to get hold of here, it is not us who are to be joined to God. We are not the bride prepared. It is the teachings or the heavenly doctrines. These are the bride. It is truths that are adjoined to good, and it is divine truths that are adjoined to the divine good. Therefore, the New Jerusalem is a body of divine truth, a body of thought consisting of divine truths that can be joined to the Lord within the human mind. So this connection with the divine is made possible through teachings drawn from out of the Word. And these teachings, they are accommodated to human comprehension. So when we take these teachings into our life, we have a sense of connection with the Lord because He is in the truths of the Word within us. You see, the Lord can only be in what is of Himself, which is why we have the Word. And it is why we have the heavenly doctrines, which teach us how the Word is to be understood, so that the Lord's presence can be more readily experienced by us. The works that make up the heavenly doctrines are designed to restructure your thinking in regard to the Word. They carry within themselves new ideas, new concepts, and the possibility for a new belief structure that can form something in the human mind into which the divine can inflow and enlighten us. This enlightenment draws our sense of self into the reality of what is spiritual as we look to the Word as a matter of life. The teachings adorn the Word through giving us a new understanding of what it is, a new understanding in which its beauty can be seen. Interestingly, the word translated from the Greek as adorn here in this passage we read this morning means to put things in their proper order. And so the whole concept is one of having the mind put into its proper order and proper relationship to the divine. So when we receive truths into the mind from the Word and understand them in the light of what the heavenly doctrines teach, so then we receive the holy city, the New Jerusalem, into ourselves. And we receive it as that which is descending from God out of heaven. In terms of history, the spiritual history of humankind, in terms of time, the descent of the Holy City occurred in the publishing of these spiritual ideas so that they would have permanence in the material world. The case now is that anyone can pick them up and examine what they have to say. If in the course of time that examination leads a person to see their truth and they begin to use them to better understand what the Word teaches concerning how we are to acknowledge the Lord as God, and from that inner acknowledgement, what we are to do in relation to bringing our inner and outer life into order, so what was in print now becomes something living within the mind, because the divine life can flow in and enlighten us as to what it is we need to do. In this way, the divine life presents itself within us, becomes conscious to us, and so makes alive the Word for us. It is this living presence that becomes the New Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven. And not in terms of time and history and words on a page, but in terms of your living experience of it. When the Word speaks of something descending or moving from what is higher to what is lower, it spiritually refers to what is of a higher spiritual quality, finding its expression on a lower level of the mind. Or if you like, this idea of higher to lower is the same idea and needs to be spiritually understood as what is more internal becoming more external. So deeper heavenly loves becoming more manifest in our life. This is what the descent of the New Jerusalem is all about. This sense of the Lord's presence with people is in the truths that they have worked into their lives. And because the Lord dwells in those truths, so we have described in verse 3 this idea. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Amen.